Amen. Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, we'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with your presence as you did last night. Thank you so much for giving us what we need each and every day to grow closer to you and to be ready for that latter rain. Please bless everyone here in attendance on the phone and on the radio in the room and everyone that's going to be listening to these studies and sermons next week or next year, whenever. Thank you for loving us and teaching us how to love you back as well as how to love each other. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us. And please bless everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those we mentioned last night and all those that are mentioned in the unspokens and the text chat and all that. Thank you so much, Father, for loving us so much as you have by sending your only Son to die for us. And thank you for accepting this prayer in his name. And his name is Jesus, our Lord, our King, and Savior. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right, we are in study number 32 still. We're on question number 8. And everybody, I'll mention this again later if I remember, or if my brother reminds me, as he's been doing. Next week is communion, so get your grape juice and your unleavened bread ready. And then after that is, of course, Testimony Sabbath, and then after that, Q&A. And then, if the Lord allows or prefers, I'm going to start a sermon series about the sanctuary because it's time. We need to understand, and I got to tell you, I really, really do praise his name in regards to his word, because even when I was doing some of the notes on my sermon number 6 in the series this morning, and it really, I just love the way he opens it up, and opens up the truth and the word, and it just really blesses my heart, and I'm hoping it blesses yours too. Hold on, let me get this fan going. Okay. All right, so we're on question number 8. Let me get this mic. And the question is, who will be saved? And the answer is Mark chapter 16, verse 16. And it says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Oh, thank you, Brother Gorin, for putting the verse in the room. And the funny thing, too, that this is talking about baptism, too, here, because that's the part that Sermon 6 in the series of the sanctuary is going to be about, is the laver and its foot or its footing is about baptism. And I discovered some new truths that, I knew about everything that's going on in the sanctuary, as most of us do, but there's some new little bits and pieces that, you know, I forgot, and maybe some of you have as well, especially in regards to how the laver was built. But one of the reasons for baptism, of course, is to acknowledge the death and resurrection of Christ. This is why you go under the water and come up. But at the same time, the laver, it was made of bronze, just like everything else in the sanctuary. It was just like the bronze that was used for the altar of burnt offering and that, and any kind of vessels that are bronze, same kind of bronze. But the difference was the bronze for the laver was polished at a high gloss to the point where actually the women just donated their mirrors. They were brass mirrors. And that's very fitting for the laver to be like that, because you are to look into yourself. You're supposed to realize. You're supposed to look into the looking glass of God, which is the Ten Commandments, to realize, are you worthy of baptism? Are you ready for this? And, yeah, most people are, because before you can even be baptized, you have to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. And the only way you can really acknowledge him truthfully, not the way the world does it, but the only way they can acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior truthfully, is by obedience and by accepting him as Savior and letting him enter into your heart. And when that happens, the fruits that he talks about that we'll know each other by are keeping his law. Now, a lot of people say, well, the Jews keep the law. No, they don't. They try to, but they can't. No one can keep the Ten Commandments without help from the Holy Spirit. It just can't be done. if they could, well, then Jesus wouldn't have to have died on the cross. So anyway, the notes in the study state the following. It says, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's John chapter 3, verse 5. As an outward sign of an inward change, baptism is a public testimony that now you belong to Jesus. This is why it can't be done privately, and we had a little issue with that a year or two ago, or someone tried to get it baptized behind closed doors and no one else knowing. No, that doesn't happen. That's illegal according to the government of God, you know, our Lord and Savior by His will. And then it goes on to say, its significance as the sign of the new birth is fully discussed in Romans chapter 6. There, Paul speaks of the transforming power of grace within the life of the believer. Baptism is also the means of becoming a member of the church. It's not the there and all means of the, you know, you can become a member of the church, but you have to, of course, have been at least baptized to be an actual member. You don't have to be baptized by me or anybody in the Seventh-day Remnant Church. If you were baptized before joining our church, that's still okay, too. You could still join, as long as it's biblical baptism, where you've done it before witnesses and you were totally immersed. You know, not the pagan sprinkling that the Vatican does. You don't just sprinkle water on a dead body, because the baptism is symbolic of burial and resurrection. And so you don't bury a dead body by sprinkling some, you know, you literally totally engulf it in dirt. Well, with baptism, you literally totally engulf them with water. So, but before comparing verses 41 and 47 in Acts chapter 2, like the study suggests, let me say this. Baptism is very important, as you probably already guessed by being Christians. And it should never be taken lightly. And as I said, over the years, we have had people purposely deceive us regarding their doctrinal stand just so they can get into the water and proclaim themselves baptized. That's not baptism. Why they do this is beyond me, as they can easily go to any Sunday-keeping church to be baptized in a fleshly manner. We have even had one poor soul seek to be baptized in private, as I said a moment ago, so as to prevent a public display. Turns out the person was a Muslim, and they were trying to infiltrate, but that's a whole other story. But that, too, can never happen, as baptism is a public display of one's faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have even had some seeking to be baptized wearing suggestive clothing or jewelry, or even in a proxy manner, as do the Mormons. And what I mean by that is that Mormons have a doctrine that says, let's say you have a brother, a sister, a mom, a dad, a cousin, a niece, a nephew, an uncle, an aunt, whatever, grandma, grandpa, great-grandma, great-grandpa, don't matter. It's just somebody in your family that you discover after their death, and it could be a century after their death, that they never were baptized. They were never baptized at all. And they never accepted Christ as Savior and none of that stuff. So, according to the Mormons, you can be baptized for them so they can make it into heaven. So there's really not a lot of big difference between that and dropping a couple of coins in the coffer to get somebody out of purgatory. So it's a pagan doctrine. It's false. It's not true. It's not biblical. It can't happen. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't be doing it proxy. So, but we later discovered with some of these people that have sought baptism in the strangest ways, that they wanted to infiltrate the church. They wanted to get baptized so they can have a voice in the church, if you want. Because we're not like the other churches of the world. We're going to take into consideration what the members of the church say, just like anybody does. And the church council will do this. Church council, of course, at this point is the pastors and deacons. And granted, all the deacons at this point are in other countries, as are the other pastors. And so I'm the only one here in the States. That's not to say there isn't any elders, if you will, types that are in our number here in the States, because some of us, some in our number here have some amazing fruits that, yeah, you can literally go to them for help. And but being the way we are in totally obedient when someone infiltrates. And this, I'll just mention some of the things that, I'm not going to mention names, you don't have to, because this is how this stuff gets into the churches. One of them wanted to come in and declare flat earth theology. One wanted to be baptized in our number and declare a third temple needs to be built. You know, like that article I did yesterday on the blog. Some wanted to declare Allah is the true name of God for the Christian. Okay? And so now do you see why we are so unyielding about people doing the Bible studies and displaying true Christian fruits before ever getting baptized? And what I say about true Christian fruits is after doing those studies, you know, it's probably a no-brainer that you're going to start walking a little closer to the Lord. And I do have a, you know, because we don't, it's not like a brick-and-mortar church, and the Lord has revealed that there's a strong possibility that we're going to have, I don't know if I could say that either. You know, I'm just saying that something was revealed to me. There's a possibility that we may one day have a brick-and-mortar church here in the States, but that's not necessary or even needed at this point as far as I can see, because it's better to be widely scattered the way we are. But in other nations, it's more or less you have to have that set up that way because there's not a lot of internet access. You can't do the online thing like we do, because I could see like when the latter rain falls, we're a lot more strategically placed being in home churches. And or we can just have someone that, because we don't really know how our church family is regarding where they live or how they live, and so for all I know, we can have someone in the church family that has a million acres and a bunch of buildings, and, you know, all of a sudden we've got a place to meet on a regular basis. And so the reason I bring that up is that having a brick-and-mortar church is a lot easier to do the back-and-forth with the people. You know, like the pastor, for example, be it me or anybody else that happened to be pastoring, it could go visit the people that live, that attend that church, because they're going to live close enough by to attend it. But here we can't do that. See, this is one of the reasons you could see in Acts chapter 8 where Philip is able to have the conversation back and forth with the eunuchs so that by the time they get to some water, he baptizes them because he had the back and forth. Well, we do the same thing, but we do that with the Bible studies. Because I can't just stop by your house this weekend. Some of you live thousands of miles away. So being an online church, as we are here in the States, it's not easy to visit and homes on a weekly basis. As I said a moment ago, and so the Lord has revealed to us a way into which to prevent the issues with the baptism of repentant souls seeking Jesus Christ as not only their Savior but their life changing Lord as well, and that's of course with this studies, and then we have the back and forth on the phone or email or whatever the case may be, but the churches of the world use baptism as a way to fill their pews, and that's it. Because there is no obedient factor in it. But it is an open profession of faith in Christ. That's why I say, if you have been baptized, like Fran and I, we were baptized in a Sunday-keeping church before we started keeping Sabbath. Although we were moved later, after we started acknowledging more truth in the Scriptures because of the keeping the law of God and whatnot, we eventually did seek rebaptism. And I praise the Lord the way it went down, the way we actually did get baptized, because when we first started keeping Sabbath, we started reaching out to SDAs, not realizing the danger therein. No clue. Because hadn't started going to their churches yet. And so and I had some pastors in the SDA church promise to baptize me in her. And they gave me the studies, same exact studies, the 33, you know. Figuring, okay, see you in a few months. Well, 5 or 6 days later, I gave him a call. I'm ready. I did them all. I'm not kidding. I did them all. I wanted to get baptized that fast. So after about a year or two, the Lord didn't want me to get baptized by, I guess, Seventh-day Adventist pastors because of, what we know today. Because they kept dragging their feet. They just didn't want to do it. And I was going to drive down there or fly down or whatever the case may be, but no, they just wouldn't do it. And so we eventually did get baptized in we got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, of course, but we were part of a church family that was historical, SDA, if you will. No real denomination, just kind of like what a lot of people do when they leave the SDA church. They're just wandering around looking for a place to be. And that's what we ended up running into some people there at that time. And so praise God for that. And so, but the world, they just baptize anybody that wants it just so they can get somebody sitting in the pew. And, but let me see here. Oh, and it, by the way, if anybody here is like ex-Catholic and stuff like that, you weren't baptized at birth. That is not biblical baptism. And this is one of the reasons if you go into an NIV or a Douay Rheims or any kind of a Catholic-influenced Bible, you'll find out that Acts chapter 8, verse 37 is removed. Because an infant can't proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and declare that they have repented of their sins. Because that's what verse 37 more or less is talking about when Philip asks the eunuch a question. And so they removed it because they baptize babies in a Catholic church. And so a baby can't do that. So anyway, as they ended the study, flip through because I... because I don't know if anybody here is, and even on the radio now that it's filling up, I got the NIV right here that I've had for years. It was a gift to me when I was a Sunday keeper and I found Christ and a friend bought me this Bible. And back then it was like, I don't know, 30 years ago. And it was about 2 years after I found Christ and left the Catholic Church. So it was about $75 he paid for this Bible. Today it'd be like, $150, $200. It's a nice, big, fat, thick Bible. And loaded with helps, but little did I know they're helpless. You can't use them. But the only reason I keep it is to do what I'm going to do right now. And check this out. Let's read this small passage from the King James Bible first. And see, this is to show you the importance about baptism and how the enemy of souls attacks it. It's that important. So as they end of the study, it says this. Philip went over what the eunuch was reading in Isaiah. This is what it says in Acts chapter 8, verses 36 to 8. It says, "And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and he went down to the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." I mean, that's about as far as mankind can go with it, if you think about it, because we can't read hearts. And this is one of the reasons we do the studies, because of what Philip did with the eunuch over the book of Isaiah, as well as other books of the scriptures, to show him who he was actually reading about. He was reading about Jesus, the Messiah, because Isaiah was prophesying about it. And so we do the studies for the people. So all I can really ask you before you get baptized is, do you really accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you really believe this? And so, but if you look in the NIV, verse 37, where Philip says he will baptize him after he declares faith in Jesus and all that was shared in the Bible study on the road, the eunuch agrees to all of it, and then he is baptized. But when you remove that passage, no stipulation is needed to be baptized. None. In fact, removing the requirement to declare Jesus Christ as Lord allows the Catholic Church to baptize babies, and that is actually no different than going to any Sunday-keeping church that doesn't verify one's faith before baptism, as Philip did with the eunuch, who was studying in his Bible in the book of Isaiah regarding the Messiah and all that comes with that truth. Hence the reason I said Philip asked him about Jesus and all the prophecies confirming Jesus, as Isaiah so eloquently listed. But let me read from, let me get this to Acts chapter 8 here. I tell you, this is one heavy Bible. Acts, okay, we're in John, so it's next. Chapter 8. And now here's something here. Like, you could flip through these pages, and right here, I'm on page 1942. And I'm only in Acts chapter 1. So you can tell there's a lot more paper in these Bibles. Reason being is, check this out. On this page, it's verse 1 through 6. But the font is size 9. Right? Definitely need glasses to read it. So one-third of the page is Bible. Well, actually, not even. I'd say one-fifth of the page is Bible verses. And then right before you reach it, above it is some helps and some blurbs about Peter's ministry and whatnot. So there's some mankind's copyrighted material there. That's why all these Bibles are copyrighted except the King James, because God wrote that one. And so anyway, and then underneath it, which looks to be 75% of the page, is all helps. Like verse 1 is like, wow, it's like almost the whole section just for verse 1. I mean, and see, that's the way Jesuits do it, though. They gotta go on and on and on forever in regards to when they twist a Bible verse out of whack. But let's go to Acts chapter 8. Otherwise, I'm going to go over time here. All right, and this is what it says. I got to move the keyboard here quick. All right, so verse 36, and then I'm going to read to verse 38. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. That's it. Doesn't say anything about accepting Jesus as Savior. And verse 37, or the number 37, is even missing. You can literally see it goes from verse 36, right next verse. The very next verse is verse 38. The entire verse is missing, and the number that carried it. That's just one of 2,000. And then there's another 2,000 or 3,000 that have been rewritten, where they say different things. That's why I did that page on the website called Bogus Bibles. When you start at the top and you work your way to the bottom of that page, you'll see there's a pattern to their madness. There's a reason that they remove certain verses. So, and anyway, getting back to Acts chapter 2, that says, verses 41 and 47 at the study said to touch on. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And I can't wait to see that day come, because that's going to start happening here too as well. And then verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's got to upset some of the Jews as well, because once they realized, they came into an agreement, let's say, or their bar mitzvah or whatever, the Jews were teaching each other to hoard the truth. Don't tell it to anybody else. Don't share it with anybody else, kind of a thing, you know. And so having favor with all people, as verse 47 here, is something that's going to rub them the wrong way. So anyway, comparing the two verses, we see that those that, like Philip with the eunuch, those that gladly received his word, these are the ones that were baptized. And the only way they can be described as being those that gladly received means those baptizing them no doubt verified the best way that they could that they were in agreement with that which is written. And so as the next passage dictates, they were saved, because faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior means you truly are saved. Now, you can be saved without being baptized. I mean, look what went down with Cornelius and his family. And so they were baptized with the Holy Spirit before even getting baptized with water. And so they were believers already. But yeah, and there's a lot of people that aren't going to make it to baptism just from, sicknesses or, deadly accidents, let's say. They find Jesus Christ. And say, for as a matter of fact, it reminds me of a man, and I'll end with this because we're getting late. And this was a true story, because I remember hearing this one. It was part of a man's testimony that was sharing it on the radio. This is back in the day when I was listening to Moody, the Bible radio from, I think it's Tenley Park or Bourbonnais or something like that up in that area. But he had a friend, and they went to high school together. They went to college together. And when they finally graduated college, they went their separate ways because they got good jobs in different areas of the country. Like for the one buddy, the one guy that was talking on the radio was from the West Coast, and his friend was from the East Coast in New York City. And he worked in a high rise. I think it was in the Twin Towers at the time. This is before they fell, of course. And um, he had a burden. The guy on the West Coast had a burden for his friend, a big-time burden for his friend, and was calling him left and right, and it wasn't getting anywhere with him on the phone. It wasn't. He was so busy, didn't have time to talk or even talk to him about Jesus or anything like that, and he figured, one day, I'm just going to take a week off, and I'm going to cruise down there. I'm going to just get a plane flight and just go to New York, and that's what he did. And he went up into the guy's office unannounced, which worked out well because the guy set time away for him. And they had a long conversation in his private office, I guess. And in that conversation, his friend accepted Jesus as Savior. Wow, this always gets me when I talk about this because it just brings me back to some of the things I've seen in my past too with people that have accepted him. But anyway, they're in tears, both of them, obviously. They're, because everything went well, and they're going to go to lunch. And no one knew that this was going on. No one knew that this was going to happen, what was going to happen next. They went down the elevator, and they walked out. And now keep in mind, this is New York City. There's not a blade of grass to be found for miles. You might have a tree every now and then that's like just a display thing in front of some store. And a concrete jungle, in other words, is what I'm saying. Everything is, there's no dirt anywhere that you can see, or grass or flowers or anything. And so the guy and his friend walk out. And when he walks out, he looks up and he sees the sky, the blue sky. That's all he sees because everything else is concrete. And he goes, wow. I can really see the beauty of God's creation. And he dropped dead and died. I kid you not. He found Jesus Christ at the perfect time. And I do believe that he'll make it home. With the fruits were there, the way the guy was describing it, if he was being legit on the radio. And so a lot of people wonder, well, he didn't get baptized. Well, Jesus did. To fulfill all righteousness as well, and I do go into a little bit of detail about that in the Sanctuary series, which will be later, like Sermon 6 when we get to labor, obviously. But Jesus, and he's not doing it in a proxy manner. He knows that there's going to be some people that are not going to make it. And so he could have literally done the baptism for some of us that might not make it to the water before we die. Because there's people that find Jesus Christ on their deathbeds, too. And accept him as Savior. Or look at people that are in prisons and find Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's not a lot of bathtubs in prisons, to where you can get baptized. And I wonder how they even do it, if they even bother. Because if they're real Christians, they're going to realize just sprinkling ain't going to do it. And so, but as we see in the scriptures here, there is a method on how to be considered a follower of Jesus Christ, and baptism is a big part of that. And I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.